Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Good evening, dear saints. Trusting that you've had a good day. We'll just pick it up from where we stopped yesterday. Just to be sure that I'm good and we're fine. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Good evening, dear saints. Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you're from. Good to have you here. I hope you've had a lovely day. Glory to God. Yeah, just to be sure that I'm fine and we're good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll just go into the word right away. Just to be sure that I'm fine, I'm good. Can you just let me know? That'll be good, that'll be lovely. You are wonderful. You are the owner. You are wonderful. You are the old Lord. All right. Seems to be good. Seems to be good. Beautiful. I'll just go for it. Let's just go into the word this evening. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so we'll just continue from where we stopped yesterday. Now, I'm beginning your Bible, 2 Timothy. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and had been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child, that is a young Christian, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the scripture is given by inspiration. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Right? All scripture is given by inspiration. Now, one of the things we've said over the last few days is the fact that the scriptures are inspired by God, right? And they are profitable. That means they are advantageous for doctrine. That's what they're teaching. Right? So, for teaching, say for reproof, for correction, that is, and it says for instruction in righteousness. So, it means God's word should be the regulator to our Christian life, or God's word should be the regulator to our faith. God's word should be that which regulates our lives. That which regulates our living, our being, our interactions, the things we do, how we see spiritual growth, how we see service, how we walk in this world. We must ensure that God's word is a template. Now, the fundamental focus around God's word will be around the saving plan of God. Altogether, that will be the general theme. Whilst might not necessarily be that every single thing points to that correction, but woven around the salvation plan is what you have the Bible, is what you call the Bible. Or the Bible will have, you know, lots of stories, different shades, different forms, different people, different generations, different lineages, right, would have their story represented in scriptures, but salvation will be the team, or salvation will be the fulcrum. So Paul will say, from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Right? So it means salvation is key. Salvation is important. Now, if salvation is important, it means that we ought to understand the various sides to salvation. Right, which is what I started looking at yesterday. Right, we have the ongoing work, we have the finished work. Are we together? We have the ongoing work, we have the finished work. So the ongoing work, excuse me, the ongoing work, right, the finished work, or what you can call the unfinished work, there will be shades, types, wings, parts of the entire salvation plan. Are we together? So the salvation plan, there will be that which is complete, which is done by the resurrection, which is done by the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And there will be that as well, which needs to be completed. And ideally, the word completed is not really completed, because it's actually an ongoing conversation. For instance, they're looking at prayer. Now look at Matthew 26, verse 41. Matthew 26, 41. Wow. Praise God forevermore. It says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, we started talking about how there is a fight between the spirit and the flesh. We'll use an example to talk about how the spirit is winning, and how you know the flesh is winning. We spoke about that a lot yesterday. So Jesus left them for a bit, came back, and he said, you know, you can pray with me for 1 hour. I'm away. You can't even tarry for 1 hour. You know, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he came again, the 23, found them sleeping again. Their eyes were heavy. Then he said unto them, sleep on after the third time, and said, take your rest now. Behold, the hour is at hand. Now, one of the things you see there is the fact that Jesus, you know, we saw that in Luke 11 yesterday, verse 1, where they asked that Jesus teach us how to pray. He said, they saw all manners of miracles, right? Wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, they saw all manners of miracles, and in all the things that they saw, they asked for, teach us how to pray. Our together, teach us how to pray. Right, teach us how to pray, right? Not teach us how to raise the dead, not teach us how to heal the sick, not teach us how to command the crowd or instruct the crowd or gather the crowd or multiply bread, but teach us how to pray. So it means they knew that prayer was a very vital part of the life of Jesus. Now, you know, I ended yesterday's narratives talking about the fact that a lot of people think prayer is something that we just meditate upon. You know, and one of the things I found out is, for every outward display of God's manifestation, any part or anywhere in the world, I would say that there are men behind the scene, even if those men, ideally, who are being used at the forefront, right? They are men. Think about it this way. God wants men saved, and God will not use the lackadaisical approach of man, or the laziness of man, or the ignorance of man, to serve as a bypass as to how or why he will not get to one person. Do you know what I'm saying? See, let me try to flip that switch a little to put it in context for you, right? So let's assume there's a country, and that country is bordered by 1 million people. Yep, get it very well. Bordered by 1 million people. You see? And let's say one preacher or one minister rose out from the crowd and became a preacher. Or let's say one person traveled out of the country of 1 million people. So we have 999,999 people. One person travels out of the country, right? And he gets an exposure into the gospel, right? And he comes back into that city, right? But the exposure he got is the exposure that talks about how we don't need to pray, we just need to receive with thanksgiving and everything. See, what is God's plan for 999,000 people, 999,999 people in that country? It is that all men are saved and come. Look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy. All together. 1 Timothy. It's been a long year. It's been a long year. Praise God forever. Well, look at 1 Timothy. Look at chapter 2. Or look at 1 Timothy. And look at verse chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's what it says there. It says, I exhort therefore, brethren. Yeah. Just to be sure that good volume issue. Hopefully, that's one person's end. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. So look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. It says for kings and for all them that are authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of his truth. So God wants all men to be saved. God wants all men to be saved. God wants all men to be saved. So what is God's will for the 999,999 people that are left in that country? Yeah, God wants them to be saved. Now, watch it out. So if that man goes back into that country, right, and he preaches the message of the gospel, which is what he heard when he left the place, we're together, and he starts seeing an inflow and influx of his of crowd into his ministry, into his church. Maybe he started a church after a few weeks, few months, out of 999,000, 100,000 already saved, we're together, yeah, but doesn't have full expression, or doesn't have, you know, or doesn't engage in what you call the ongoing work, prayer, the lifestyle, right? In the real sense, he is not getting better because he is not praying as he ought to pray. But the fact is that God will stretch his hands no matter how logical man might try to explain it away, to get to another person just for that man, for that woman to be saved. Are we together? All right? So now, the man who is at the forefront of the revival, in quote, of 100,000 out of 1 million people, right, might be... Now, if you look outside of that ministry, you might be tempted to logically think that, oh, but that church doesn't pray and they are growing. Let me tell you, because there is another person who is in the southeastern part of the world, who is in the northeastern part of the world, who is in the western side of the world, because there is a man who will, for instance, be in Edinburgh some years ago, and his prayer focus will be, give me Scotland or I die. Are we together, right? And in that voraciousness that he's giving to prayer, right, in that attitude he's giving to prayer, right, a lot of things are happening behind the scene. Are we together? Including people, for instance, who are from Scotland, who are not from Scotland, but dwelling in Scotland. Are we together? But we have a heritage with people in different parts of the world, inclusive of that country with 1 million people. I hope you are following the drift. Altogether, right? So what is at work in that country? Well, there's a power of prayer somewhere. I went together. There is the power of prayer at work somewhere. So there are churches like God's Palace, for instance, right? Who would go for retreats, go for vigils, have leaders' meetings, have leaders' prayers, have workers' prayers, have rekindle Abuja, rekindle Edinburgh, right? Blah, 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 blah. And one of the focuses we are praying for is what? That men are saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. Let me tell you, the answers to those prayers, are we together, are not just found in the number of people who inflow or who get themselves to, who have an inflow or who come into or flow into the church. Are we together? The results of that prayer as well will be found on grounds and farmlands where they are not even as prayerful. You know why? Because God will want to use the slightest opportunity. Look at it. See, we cannot be praying in a part of the world, and we are saying that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, that the hearts of men are open to the gospel, right? And in our part of the world, right, there's a revival busting out in the country with a million people who are not Christians. And we'll say no, because there is no prayer machine there. They will not report it. No. That's not the way God works. You see, God is that loving Father who moves around with, you know, let me say that differently. God is that loving Father to whom the gospel, or by which, when we preach the gospel of his love, preach his love to another, he is willing, like a snatcher, to snatch that man or woman from the bondage of sin and death, regardless of the prayerlessness or prayer life of the man who preaches the gospel that snatches. Are you with me? You see the point? So God is just very interesting, very, like some will say, God is just so beautiful, right? God will not say, because there is no prayer man in this city, I will not allow the influx of people to come into the reality of my love. So what or where should you derive satisfaction? You derive satisfaction in the fact that you are in obedience to scriptures. For instance, where Jesus will say, men ought to pray and pray always. Are we together? You see, that's what I always tell you, right? You see, sometimes what motivates or discourages believers from building or continually building their prayer life is the result they think their eyes or their physical eyes is seeing or is not seeing or has not seen. You get the point? You know, like I would always tell you, yeah, there are prayers that I'm living in the fulfillment of today. Yeah, you see the point? Yeah, there are prayers I'm living in the fulfillment of today. Right? I will not always share this testimony. I was told that when my parents got married, there was a prophet, right? I'm still even in contact with the prophet here today, who said that their parents or my parents are going to give birth to 3 children. The first one, a boy. The second one, a girl. The third one, a boy. And they will all serve Jesus. Are we together? Right? Yeah, this is decades after. What is that? We are in the fulfillment of that prayer. We were not born. I wasn't born. You get the point? Yeah? So there are fulfillment of prayers or prayer that we will make or that we will, that our eyes will not physically see. But that is why the believer ought to gain satisfaction with and in the fact that he is obeying God's word to men ought to pray and pray always. Obeying God's word when he says pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5. Are we together? So what should encourage you to pray without ceasing? It is simple, that it is an instruction in God's word. Are we together? Yeah? Don't let what motivates you to the place of prayer in the place of prayer be the physical result or the inflows of disciples you are having to your name. No. Yeah? You should derive satisfaction in the fact that are you praying as you ought to pray? That, you know, one of the videos that just went out this evening, right? Yeah? How close? So, don't be comparing your local church with, this is how that local church be. I wish my pastor could just behave this way in our local church, where we don't even come around, we just pray. Someone just comes, hold the mics and just say, Father, we commit the service into your hands, Lord. Take absolute control, for in Jesus and mighty name we pray, amen. And what happened? The praise team mounts the stage with their guitar, with their keyboard, with their drums, right? And everybody's jumping for another 30 minutes. Then the pastor, who has also been jumping as well, who walks into the middle of the praise and worship, just picks the microphone. All of a sudden, he just tells them, I said, today, or he just picks the mic and you say, on the 17th day of October, 2027, right? There was a man who lived by the beach. He lived close, not too far from the train station. Right? And okay. And eventually he uses 15 minutes to tell the story. And he says, here's the point. Here is the application. And we're together. Another 5 minutes. Here is the application. Right? 20 minutes. What happens again? Right? He wraps up again and said, well, oh Lord, we just want to give God all the praise. Let the priest team come leave us back right now into the word. Yeah. You see? Don't begin to say, I wish my church was like that. No, what should always be on your mind? Let me tell you, I always tell you, wherever you find yourself in this world, the biggest question on your mind is, the church I'm going to attend, how close it is it from the epistles? And you see, you know, for some of us, we get ourselves into very interesting, naughty relationships that influence us. I saw a video probably hours ago, right? A video, and someone was trying to do a test of, some scientists had done a test of putting, I think it's an orange or a lemon or something like that, a lemon into a glass, you know, and two of them were fresh, clean, not contaminated. One of them was fully rotten, and put it just beside them for them to touch themselves. Yeah? And what happened? And they put a camera there that was watching it over, I think, hours into days. And eventually they found out that when they came back, right, all the contamination, the rust, the naughty things from the rotting, you know, lemon are transferred. And what I'm trying to communicate with that video was just how we are impressionable. We are products of influence. Altogether, when somebody feels like they are strong, right, and they feel like you see something is dangerous, something is harmful to you, you maintain that relationship, you maintain that contact. You feel you are wise. You are not wise, you are just proud. Listen to me carefully and let this be an instruction to you. Yet you are not wise, you are proud. Are we together? When you feel you can continue relationships that will water down the leading of the Spirit, water down the words of knowledge, words of the gifts of the Spirit. And you say, no, I just listen to it. I just say, I just close my mouth. You know, you are not wise, you are proud. Altogether, right? You are proud because you think you are strong enough. Let he that thinks he stands take heed. Are we together, right? You think you are strong. You are not strong. We are all products of influence. And that's why the devil will do anything to uproot you from where God plants you. I hope you know, for every one of you listening to me in God's palace, you did not come to God's palace by mistake. You came to God's palace by the orchestration of the Spirit. Yeah? Happy are you if you allow your heart to stay and be blessed. Happy are you if you allow your heart to receive all that what God is planning for you in this phase of your life. Right? But it will be sad if eventually you allow contamination, you allow the influence of another, right, to take you out of a place. Why? Because, I wish my church was that church. I wish my church was that church. The devil will always come with so many games, so many gimmicks, so many things to uproot a man from where God has, okay, except you don't think. And the moment you don't think you're supernaturally orchestrated to be in God's palace, the best thing for you to do is go to a prayer mountain, take out 5 days, or no, 5 days, 5 months to go pray, right? Take an excuse from church. Take out 5 months to go pray, to go seek the face of the Lord to where you should be. All together, right? Yeah? So it's also a dent on you as well. For you not to be sensitive enough to have been around for a while, to not know that this is not where God is leading you. Yeah? Today's teaching will be troublesome until tomorrow and Saturday. Yeah? It will. Yeah? So imagine yourself getting yourself contaminated, right, with your phone. You use your phone to buy your data. Use your phone to buy your internet. Use your phone to buy your credit. Yet you use that same money of yours to expose yourself to a blogger who just stays at the back of a camera to start talking down on all the local churches and accusing. Who is going to lose? It's you. The blogger is already on a defeat. He's on a loss already. Are we together? Yeah, you are the one that will eventually lose based on that conversation. All together. So you don't compare your church with, like I always tell you, a local church, how do you know a healthy local church? Yeah, a healthy local church is a local church where there is problem. Any church you find that there is no problem, the moment, if you want to remain, allow that church to remain the church without problem. All together. What do? You, looking at me, step into the church. Yeah, don't step into the church. Yeah, if you want that church to remain a church without problem, what do? You don't step into the church. All together, right? But if you want that church to be like your former church that has problem, you step there. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, it's only in our world. Yeah, you know, if you go back into time and read through history and see how our fathers and their fathers consistently committed themselves to the work of ministry, to their local. I saw a video of a man who said he has been playing drum in the church for over 50 years. He's been the drummer of the church for 50 years. Right? Our generation is going to struggle with that. Why? Because of the advent of, because of the problem called internet that's supposed to be an advantage to us as a church. Or advantage to us as a world in our world. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So the moment you find a church that is perfectly perfect, that is without wrinkle, yet please, I beg you, let us leave that church as the only church that has that reputation and record. Yet don't join them. Yet you looking at the camera, don't join them. You get the point? Don't join them. Yeah, you know, sometimes, like I said earlier on, if you read through church history, you find out that people stay in places, commit themselves to places, not because they were not offended, not because people don't step on their toes, not because they were not given to, you know, things that were misinterpreted. They hear one thing, misinterpreted, read the meaning to it. No, it's because they saw there was a bigger picture. Are we together? Yeah. Just like, you know, I always give the example. Like that woman, right, that was at the well. And Jesus said, go call your husband, right? And he says, who is your husband? And she said, oh, I have no husband. He said, you said right. Yeah, you've had more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the one you're having with right now is not your husband. You know, I flip that into the local church. Yeah. What local church do you attend? You mentioned, and you say, I attend this one in the morning, this one in the afternoon, this one in the evening, so I can have a balanced Sunday. Are we together? Right? Yeah. You now say, that's true. Yeah. And even the one you're actually claiming that you are going to in the morning is not even your local church at all. Right? You are just there to fill up space. Yeah. Why am I being this dramatic? Yeah, it is so that you get the point as much as you need to get the point. You see, and when God's word stares you in your face, what do? You repent. In our generation, when God's word stares people in their face, what do? They carry shoulder, carry face, carry their lips, move up and down, and they say, no. Why would they use me to preach? Who on earth does he think he is? Yeah, who on earth does? Why will the air is human beings that we will use to preach? Are we together? Right? In fact, I don't know of any pastor who doesn't use people to preach. Well, there's no pastor who doesn't tell stories. Altogether, and stories means that you're interacting with human beings. You can't be talking about antelope and dog and lion moving up and down and saying, no. You don't see pastors do that. It is stories. Altogether, right? So eventually, if you now get yourself to be so unnecessarily worked up, unnecessarily occupied, what happens? You unplant yourself in where you've been planted supernaturally, spiritually. Are we together, right? Yeah, you know, you always hear people say, no, I left that church because it's a toxic church. Are we together? Yeah, we agree. Yes, yeah. But anywhere you go to, the moment you go there, you have made that church a toxic church. You that left, you've made that place a toxic church. Yeah. You see, one of the things I found out is that sometimes we over-exaggerate things, and that's the work of the devil. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Now, where did we start from? We're talking about God wants all men to be saved. Now, I used all of that to just explain one concept, right? That we are praying in a certain way, and that we are praying a way we pray in God's palace. The question on your mind should not be, which other church in this city prays like this? No, it is simple. No, it is, how close is my church praying to the template of the churches that prayed in the book of Acts? Altogether, how close is my church praying to the template and the examples of the things I can read in the book of Acts, I can read in the epistles? You get the point, right? Yeah, and now, if you find out, yesterday we'll look through reasons why people don't pray and everything. One of the things you will see is that if you don't pray enough, you will get agitated a lot. Did you hear what I just said? If you don't pray a lot, you will get agitated. If you don't pray enough, right? What is praying enough? Praying enough does not mean you pray to a point where you know you filled up your tank of prayer. No. Praying enough means praying without ceasing. Now, if you don't pray enough, you will always get agitated. You will usually get irritated. Everything, have you met those kind of people who, they are very sensitive? Everything is so sensitive for them. If you just tell them, please, can you send this document before 8 a.m.? They take upset. Why would you want me to send it? Is work not starting at 9 o'clock? Altogether, right? If you are a believer and you are that way, it's a clear evidence that you don't pray enough. Now, praying enough means you don't pray. That means there's a prayer life you have that involves a lot of ceasing. And unfortunately, even the prayer life, before it gets to the point of ceasing, is full of, Lord, give me. God, give me. Lord, when will you give me? Lord, when will you give me? Lord, when will you give me so and so and so? Lord, when will you deliver this and this and this into my this and that and this? When will you deliver this post office? Yeah, because I know you are in the neighborhood. So if God bless my neighbor, God is in the neighborhood, I will be the next neighbor. Eventually, that's the reason why you get agitated easily. Altogether, right? Yeah, you cannot work with human beings, and human beings will not upset you. And they will upset you, they will offend you, they will say all manners of things about you, they will say all manners of, even Jesus, think about it, nobody can be as perfect as Jesus. Yeah? So, watch this. So, Jesus, the most perfect man to have walked the surface of the earth, no blemish, no sin. Yet, hear the kind of things they said about him in the book of Matthew. Altogether. Yet, what did Jesus give himself to? Men ought to pray and pray always. So, what did Jesus do? He began to pray and pray always without ceasing. So he continued prayer. So what was prayer doing? Was helping him from getting agitated. Praise God forevermore. It was helping him from getting unnecessarily, I think that's even the word, unnecessarily agitated. Are we together? Right? It's very, very simple. So use this series, this particular one today and yesterday's one, to measure the temperature of your walk with others and your walk with God. Are we together, right? If you find that, so call this series a diagnosis series, right? If anything I've said or spoken about all through, right, ministers to you, just take it as a diagnosis, right? I'm going to give you the prescription as well. As I'm talking, I'm giving you a prescription as well. You get the point, right? So you must ensure that no matter whatever crosses your mind, the question of your heart is, how close is my local church to the epistles? Not how close is my local church to my house. Nope, nope, nope. Altogether. Not how close are we together. Not how close is my local church to the lifestyle I'm living to join Jesus. You know, a lot of churches right now put ourselves under unnecessary pressure to have the church look like a nightclub. Are we together? You have a church look like a nightclub, right? Because we're still trying to get the people out of the club, you know. So it's going to take a lot of time. So you want them to come make sure they feel at home when they come on Sunday, right? And what happens? We just allow everything to go there. No. How close is your church to the episodes? I was talking to someone last week, right? And we're just having conversations about some of the things as churches we just tolerate, we just allow, and all of those kind of things. One of the things that was, you know, was spoken about in that conversation is the fact that a lot of times people like to look like, I think he said this, that people like, you know, we have a lot of people who look like Christians, right? They have an illusion, an image of Christianity worn on them, right? In their outward character, but they are far away from Christianity in their private space. Altogether. And those are not the people that we are sent to. Right? Sorry. Those are people we are sent to, but that's not the method we are sent to do. Or that's not the method. We are not sent with the method to try and, you know, water down everything about, you see, let me tell you something. If I say this, you'll be troublesome. Let me not say this. Right? So, God wants all men to be saved. Right? So, if people are not doing as they will, give themselves to prayer. Go look through history. All the men who you see at the forefront of maybe people saying these are the men at the forefront of revival in a country, in a nation, in a continent, whatever it is, you will find out they were men given to prayer. The very few who were not given to prayer, go and check it very well. They either had parents who were given to prayer, they either had siblings who were given to prayer, they either had neighbors who were given to prayer, or they either had other believers who were given to prayer for that city. Altogether. You know, one of the things I've had out of practice over the years is there is no country I visit I don't preach. Right? Something that's going to be till my last breath. There's no con. It's not possible. Altogether. And so far, we've tried to do it. Now, it means that by default, no matter what happens, as I'm approaching a country, no matter what happens, I must give myself to prayer for that country. Watch it this way. So if I go to a country, maximum 3 days, 4 days, maximum, I think the max I would do is 5 days because I have to be in church. Altogether. So 5 days. I would get that to an unknown country, to a new country, right? So I will pray rigorous. I'll probably pray weeks before then. Weeks before then. Go on prayer walks. Weeks before then. Days before then. Then go there. Just to go minister. Altogether, just go minister for a few seconds, few minutes, you know, preach to people and all of those kind of things. Let me tell you, right, that prayer I pray before I go to whatever country it is, right, is too much for the number of days. I'm trying to be careful with my words, but you get the point. For the number of days I'm spending there. Yeah? It is too much for the number of days I'm spending there. So what will happen? There will be another man who will at least be willing enough, right, to take the gospel, to take the message and preach to someone. So he might be enjoying open door, but it may be a man that is not a man of prayer. He might be enjoying what you call open door. When the real sense, that open door is the answer to the prayer or part of the prayer people like me would have done prior to that trip. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? You get what I'm trying to say? Very, 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 very important. Are we together? Yeah? So, ideally, yeah, you would find yourself getting satisfaction from the rigorousness of your prayer if your mind is in the right place. But just imagine what wants to soften my heart. Are we together, right? Is the fact that within 1 month of starting a church, we became 1 million in Edinburgh. Within 1 month, we become 1 million. Okay? Yeah? Beautiful. Lovely testimony. Beautiful testimony. But you see, what keeps the fire on my prayer altar going is not as much the results. It's as much the obedience. You know, like I would always say, the blessedness of obedience, right, is in the obedience. Right, is being obedient. Are we together? Right? Yeah. So don't obey the word, aiming to justify why you are obeying the word and looking out for results. So our results good, yes. You get the point. No, you see, as a church, we look forward to having multiple services in different parts of the world. Multiple people doing the work of ministry, multiple people being trained and taken into the street, you know, going into the streets to get people delivered and all of those things. But I'm saying, what fuels our prayer altar behind the scene, right, is the fact that it is written in scriptures and we stay with that because it is written in scriptures. Praise God forevermore. I hope you're following, right? So one of the things you must always remember, that you must always do, that you must always do for yourself, right, is simple, right? That you go back to God's word to remind yourself, are you praying enough? Are you praying enough? Are you praying a lot? Are you praying a lot? Are you praying enough? Are you praying a lot? How close is your prayer life to the prayer life of Jesus? How close is your prayer life to the prayer life of Paul? Paul will say, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul was following the template of Christ, bumper to bumper. Peter will now let you see that these examples that Jesus Christ gave to us, they are for an example for us to follow. Paul will be a typical example that is following the footprints, the footstep of Jesus Christ. Then Paul will now go to an entire church in 1 Corinthians and say, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. What a boast. What is he boasting in? He's boasting in the fact that he's an obedient believer, an obedient disciple, an obedient minister. Praise God forever. Right? So, it is God's will that no men are saved. Don't get yourself to be saying, but you see, this local church, but they're not even praying and giving themselves to the things of the word. Right? God is just the way he is. Right? And the truth is that you can't always question and ask anything. But let me tell you one thing you should always remember. Always put this at the forefront of your mind. Always remember this thing. It's very, very simple. That you're going to stand before the audience of one. That's what we always fail to remember. That's what we all, I said those words intentionally. We always fail to remember that you're going to stand in front of the audience of one. You will stand right in front of one person, right? And that one person will judge you. And that one person will judge you. And that one person will say to you, well done, or well, you done, or well done. You get the point? Always remember that audience of one, right? So when you start getting yourself into looking, I just wish that our pastors could just allow people to just be eating burger. You know, I went to a church a couple years ago, and the person beside me, came for a conference and everything, was just eating the sandwich and just opening and open Fanta and and I'm like, just because we want to allow people to feel at home. Are we together? If you come to my house and I say feel at home does not mean you should now go and put your leg on my chair. Imagine you come to my house, you want to sit down on my living room couch. I say, I just feel at home. I say, let me quickly just get my phone or something. I just say feel at home, and I now come back and I see you put your head on one side of my chair. You now put your leg. Unfortunately, you even now felt at home and wash shoe into the living room. I was together. You now put your leg on top of the chair and say, but pastor, you say I should feel at home. I was together. For me, some people are very interesting. So I know more people who ideally, right, if they see that kind of thing in their living room, right, they are not bold enough to say, please, can you put your leg down? Or please, we don't do that here. I was together. All right. But if you know me, right, yeah. Ideally, the worst that will happen is that I will say it in a joking way that you'll get the point. I remember there was one guy that did it one time like that in our house. bro, legs are for the floor. He got the point. You have to get the point immediately. How can you come to somebody and say, because they say feel at home, you now put your leg on the chair. I would get that. So I'm trying to say, look at that concept. Listen to what I'm just trying to say to you. I'm trying to say to you that no matter how much you say we should have freedom in the local church, there must be boundary. There must be boundaries. We must have boundaries. You must have guardrails. Let me tell you something. Human beings are designed to have boundaries. Let me loosely say these words. Human beings are designed to have a sense of control over their lives. Did you hear what I just said? Right? Human beings are designed to have a sense of control over their life, because you as a human being, in your own regard, in your own self, you don't have the ability to give yourself the right guardrails for every and any aspect of your life. That's where mentorship comes in. That's where fatherhood in Christianity comes. That's where pastoring, shepherding comes in. No. There are things you will do and do wrong, right? For some, it might be your innocence. Some, you are being naughty. Some, you are being, in fact, nasty. But the fact remains that God puts all those structures in place. So when you see us preaching and saying things like this, right, it is to ensure that we are guarding your heart. I want to get that. The local church is not a place where we just come and just tell you Christ is risen. He's risen. He's alive forever. He's alive forever. But a friend of mine was telling me, you know, something. Obviously, when you start seeing the direction of a conversation, one of the things that I've learned to do over time is to learn how to just kill the conversation or let it end there. All right, together. Yeah, because the moment you start adding more and start, you know, and like I always tell you, there are conversations you kill instantly with style. Yeah, maybe because the gravity is not so much, but there are those you kill not with style, with you kill it with a lot of authority. Yeah, you kill with a lot of authority. It's very, very simple. Yeah, very, very simple, right? There are very, very fundamental things. Someone sent me a video, I think a while ago, right? And I saw the video, right? And there was something on the back tone of that video was something mocking Christianity, right? So I left the message. I didn't reply. I just met it on Instagram. I left it. I read it. I didn't reply, you know, but over time I just said, okay, well, so let me go back to the chat. Let them not say I'm ignoring. Yeah. I have one of, I'll rather make it clear to you that, oh, don't send this again to me, or, you know, but don't you notice that that's bad? You shouldn't be laughing about something like this, right? So what I did was I went back to the post and I didn't. So the person sent the post to me to laugh, right? But I replied to the post with what was to be learned from the video. You get the point, right? And that's because it was a chat. Usually, if it is face to face, yeah, see, I want to live long. I want to do ministry well. I want to serve Jesus well. And I want to serve each and every one of you well in God's palace. So I have the responsibility to submit myself to control. Are we together? I have the responsibility to submit myself to correction. I have the responsibility to ensure I guard my heart with everything I've got. Are we together? Right? Because what? One, I want to stay. You know, somebody was saying something to me, I think a while ago, and it was, the person was saying that, Pastor, you see, some people, when they get away with certain things, the moment I jump into that thing, I will not get it. And they started talking about histories and track records of how they've been in those kind of experiences, even from secondary school and everything, that people can, let's say, for instance, people are doing something bad in school. For 5 years, 6 years, nobody didn't catch any of them. But the day that person does it, that's supernatural covenant. I would get, what am I trying to say to you? There are some things you think some other people escaped. It's not that they escaped it. It's that you cannot see what they are paying for. You do get what I just said? You get what I just said? Is that you cannot see. You cannot see the, because there are laws in this earth. Are we together? Right? There are principles in this earth, and that's very fundamental. You must not joke with that. Are we together? God is gracious. God is loving. But the fact remains that, there are certain instructions that are clear, that for your own sanity and your own wisdom, right? Just stay with the sanity of God's word and the instruction it comes with you, and just derive satisfaction there. You'll be grateful for it. Altogether, you'll be grateful for it. You get the point. Praise God forevermore. So when you start getting yourself overly worked up with the local church you are found in, right, because you are trying to compare, like I was saying, we don't compare our churches with our churches. If at all we are comparing our churches or comparing ourselves with ourselves, the scripture says those that do that are not wise. Right? But if at all, let it be that the church you are even using as an example, they are closer to Acts. Do you understand? You can say, okay, well, this church is not, I'm not physically alive to see the church of Acts. I can only read it. Yeah? But at least what I'm seeing in this church, they are closer to the things I've read in the book of Acts. Like we saw yesterday, for instance, the rigorousness they gave themselves to prayer, in the way they gave themselves to prayer altogether, right? The way everywhere was disrupted in the book of Acts, the two, in the day of Pentecost altogether. Those are examples and templates that should be found in our midst. So don't even say, are we not all serving Jesus? Yes, we know we're all serving Jesus. But you know, you are somebody who has been exposed to what the world ideally expects. So there's no point going going all around trying to explain what is not lost. Praise God forevermore, right? So God wants all men. So I just used to explain that example I was talking about earlier on the man out of 1 million people who leaves and gets back into that country and preach the gospel, and 100,000 people are seen as those who are born into the world of revival. The fact remains that there are men behind the scene who are praying for those cities. There are men behind the scene who are praying for those cities. There are men behind the scenes who are praying for those cities. How are we together? Right? One of the things I've had consistently for my university days, for my postgraduate, postgraduate? They call it master's, right? One of the things I've had consistently, even in my office right now, is the map of the world. Yeah, then in my room, I had the map of the world laid out. What do I need to do? Right, for two things. I won't tell you the second one, but the first one, right, is to see the nations. Know the nations of the world. Know how many, if they ask some of you, how many countries do we have in this world now? They say 275. Some will say, is it up to 60? Yeah, why? Because all you know is UK. All you know is UK, US, Canada, Cameroon, the ones around Asia, maybe France, because of the, romantic affiliation with that and all the likes. Right, so by look through those nations, you think of Southern American countries. Think about very brilliantly, beautifully positioned countries Europe. Think about the continent of Australia. Think about Asia. Think about the Middle Belt, the Middle East. Yeah, I'm seeing them, and I'm reminding myself that there are cities where people are actually hiding to preach the gospel. What are we doing with that information? We're praying about it. Like I said yesterday, the disciples were flogged in Acts 4, and they left. Ooh, is my time correct? 7:47. I see. Okay, right. So they were. They were praying in Acts 4, and the Bible says the place was shaking. Just before then, what happened? They had been flogged. They had been instructed not to talk in the tabernacle. They had been asked not to. Preach the gospel, not to mention the name of Jesus and everything. And they got back into their prayer and they said, Lord, behold, they are threatening. I asked a simple question yesterday, right? Yeah. In places where they meditate as their prayer, what is meditate? They put an LED screen and they just type the prayer point and they just look at it. They bend their head down a little. They look at it. Bend their head down a little. Look at it. And they now say, Amen. So think about it. Imagine that is how everybody prayed. Let me say it to you. Let me tell you the quick answer. Right? If everybody in the world prayed that way, the world will not be the way it is today. Do you understand? Now think about the lineage where you've come from. Yeah, the part of the world where you've come from. Right? Think about the few people you know around the world who pray the way you pray, for instance, give their devotion to prayer the way you do, for instance, or the way a local church does, for instance. Right? And think about how the world, or where the world still finds itself today. Now imagine that was not in existence. Altogether. Imagine what our children need to combat, the kind of information they have to combat with: same-sex marriage, same all manners of things, doing all manners of relationships. And I heard of a story of a man, of a woman who became a man, and the man became a woman. So the woman that became a man now had beards, and the man that became a woman now cleared his beards. Then eventually the man that became a woman got pregnant, the man that became a woman now was now pregnant. And the man who became a woman was now the pregnant woman, man with beards. And you see, the Bible teaches come as you are, but not remain as you are. Amen. Are we together? Yeah, it is come as you are, but God's word should change you. You cannot claim to believe in God's word and make it make sense that God, that's why I tell you, how close are you, right, to the epistles? All together. Right? May never be in the record of God's palace that will find, I'm saying this life on record, so that you can keep it in archive, right? That a time will come and we are joining the same sex marriage or same sex people in the same marriage. You see why we need to pray? You see why we need to pray much more than meditating? Yeah, you see. You know what your children are going to struggle with? Yeah? You know what our children are going to struggle with? You see why we need to give ourselves to these things? That the heart of men should turn towards the Lord. May it never be said of us as a church, are we together, right? That because no matter what, we want everyone to just receive, we just want everyone to be saved. No, how close is your church to the epistles? It's a different thing if two people who are dating themselves and decide to come into the local church and they join the church and we keep preaching to them and keep sharing the word. But let me tell you one thing that will be sure of me. As a pastor, one of the things that the pastor has the grace to do is to not see evil in the church and not talk about it because people who are doing evil are in the church. You hear what I just said? Right? Yeah. It's one of the rights I have as a pastor, right? If you do something bad, and I know you do something bad or you continually do something bad, right? I have the right as a pastor to talk about that thing you are doing that is bad with you in the church, not behind you, with you. That's why I am your pastor. You get the point? Yeah. I have the right, legal, scriptural, emotional, biblical rights. Yeah, to say the same, to bring to the forefront of your mind that which you did is wrong. And if it stings you, what do? You wake up, you change your ways, you ensure that you don't get yourself into wallowing into all manners of thoughts. You wake up, you change your way, you move on. Okay? Why am I saying it that way? Right? So you don't think tomorrow, right? Yeah, so I'm talking about it now today. So you don't think tomorrow, for instance, we are going to have those things strange, but we'll not excuse the doctrine and teaching of God's word. Are we together? Particularly around how marriage should be done. A man previously known as a man, presently a man, marrying a woman, previously known as a woman, presently a woman. Are we together? And blessed be the hearts of those who have changed themselves before they became Christians. Oh, we'll find a way around it. Yeah? Let me tell you something. Don't begin to start questioning, okay, pastor, what will you do at that point? Let that point first come. Let's even first have one person first. But pastor, are you trying to say that if somebody forget about it? Okay, the man said he has removed a womb. The woman said he has changed a private part. What do you say? You know me, I don't even have energy for that. Yeah, I won't give you an answer. Yeah, let's first get them to come first. Are we together? Yeah, when we get to that bridge, we'll cross. We know what we do. We know what we do. Yeah, there's some biological faces and states and things you've changed you cannot undo. Altogether, so you don't wallow on that ignorance. So it's similar. Have you heard people ask this kind of question? A man who is, let me even answer it today in case you have that kind of question. A man who is who was a polygamist before he became a Christian and now is a Christian. How do we treat such a person in the local church? We treat him as a brother, treat him as a sister, treat the wife as a sister. Altogether, right? But when it comes to the matter of leadership. An example, when it comes to the matter of, Paul would say, let the bishop be a husband of one wife. He would have, it cannot be, no, so can a man be in a local church and be coming with his three wives? Yes, as a member of the church. But to say he should go and start another branch with the three, no. That's, your church is not far from, your church is very far from the epistle. It's closer to Ogun State. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, Ogun is not in middle belt. It's close, it's towards the Badon area. You know, those of you who don't know, that's around the central part of the world. You get the point? Yeah, so that's the answer to that question. Altogether. Yeah, so it's simple. Yeah, can God effectively use it? You can start a ministry and do all your wing, but when it comes to, because the one who is a bishop in the church must be an example for others to follow. You know, pastor, I have a drunkenness reality. I'm so addicted to drinking. I'm so, sometimes we are very, it's very easy for us to just see some abnormal things as normal. Altogether, pastor, you know, I married seven wives before I became a Christian and everything. Yeah, we're not saying anything, yeah? We're not saying that there's anything. You cannot undo it. Yeah? You've taken six women or seven women from their parents altogether, and they accepted inclusive of their parents, so it means you've done traditionally what should have been done, ideally. Yeah, but when you see, that's why I say it's epistles now. When you see the example of epistles, and I love Paul, I love Peter, they don't let you mix your words. It's clear. It is definite. Right? Look at it. Let me show you. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy a lot today. Is that correct? First Timothy chapter 3. Look at it. Verse 1. This is a true saying. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. Let's read what a bishop or who a bishop should be. Verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless. A husband of what? One wife. Are we together? Right? Vigilant, sober, of good behavior given to hospitality. So can you see character, character, character before the next thing he says, apt to teach. If you like, be the teacher of the teacher's teachers. Are we together? When it comes to the model in the local church, this is the epistles giving us a template. Paul is speaking to a pastor over pastors, and he's saying this should be the normal. Are we together? So Paul is saying the conclusion you ought to get to, having read Genesis to Malachi, is a man should be the husband of one wife. Somebody was shouting the other day and was saying, yeah, with the rate at which women are plenty in this world, we have times two women per man, right? So it means that God already designs to us that a man should have two. People just talk very intelligently. Yeah? He says, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy looker, but patient, not a broiler, not covetous. You see, everything, character, 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 the only thing about how you teach. Yeah, it didn't say must know the Hebrew and Greek word or must know the Latin original. No. It just says apt to teach once. Every other thing is conduct. Yeah? Blameless. Husband of one wife. Vigilant. Sober. Good. Husband of one wife, if you look at it very well as well, is wife of one husband as well. All together. All right? Yeah? It says husband of one wife, vigilant, sober. Right, of good behavior, given to hospitality. Look at the next question. Not giving to wine, no striker, not greedy, or filthy looker, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well in his own house. Altogether, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Altogether, for if a man know not how to rule in his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be of what good, see, everything is conduct. Conduct, conduct, conduct. He must be of a good report, which are without, of them which are without. That means the unbelievers, those who are outside of the local church. Altogether, lest he falls into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacon be what? Be grave, not double-tongued. Are we together? Not giving too much wine. Now, if you read through these characteristics of things for bishop and a deacon, what is that showing you? Like I always tell you, your bishop, your pastor is an example of how you should become as a believer. Somebody else was saying the other time, right, says, when the Bible says that a bishop must be husband of one wife, he says bishop. The word there is bishop. The word there is bishop, right? Bishop. He's talking to bishop. I don't want to become a bishop. Yeah? The bishop is an example of who you would look like, who you can become. Yeah? See, the goal of the pastors, Jeremiah will tell you, I'll give you pastors after my heart. Are we together, right? If a pastor is after the heart of God, it means that God wants you as a member, as a worker, to also be after the heart of God. So the reason is God places men in your life so that they can make you look closer, so they can be the example or the mirror for you in the physical sense as to what God is expecting of you, for you, from you. Altogether. So if you are somebody, right, who you say, pastor needs to take it easy with me, right? No, I'm not a leader, I'm not a bishop, I'm not a deacon. You are just one who is lazing around the expectation God has of you, God has for you. Yeah? So God's word to you will be today. Wake up. You're sleeping. Altogether, you're sleeping. Altogether, you're sleeping. You're sleeping, right? Yeah, because the expectation of you, are we together, right, can be well reflected and mirrored. Ideally, it should be well reflected and mirrored, right, in front of your good pastor. Are we together, right? So your pastor is a possibility, an example, are we together, an example of who you can become. That might not be where you are right now, yeah, and that's okay, that's fine, that's okay, right? But the fact remains that you must always remember that, see, Jesus stayed close to the disciples for them to see how a disciple should behave, for them to see how a disciple as well should behave, for them to see the possibility of who they can become. That was why, you see, everything was now compressed into a 40 days teaching, right, that now began to make sense to them and by extension to us in our world. Altogether. So you don't hide behind. So don't see yourself wanting to cheat, right? And you say, thank God I'm not a pastor. Altogether. You say, this one, the people that should not cheat are those who are leaders, who are, and thank God there's nobody looking up to me. The believer should be one, right? One who has an example, a model in front of them to show them the possibility of how an ideal believer, because a pastor is first a believer before a pastor. Altogether. The pastor is first a believer before a pastor. The pastor is first a believer. Are we together? Right? Yeah. So, and that's why sometimes, you know, as a pastor, one of the things I do is there are certain conversations at certain times where it is easy to get yourself into your office and forget yourself that as for, and forget seeing yourself as a believer. Yeah. One of the, and that's why I decide myself as a pastor to keep growing every day. Yeah. It's simple. I want to be a believer. Right. I don't want to be excused from responsibilities of a believer because I'm a pastor. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah, I'll say it one more time. I don't want to be excused from the responsibility of a believer because I'm a pastor. Altogether. And that's why it's never a difficult thing, right? For me to make a mistake and go back and correct it. Yeah, that's the expectation of a believer. Altogether. Why is the onus on me to do that more? Is that I am an example of the believer to the believers. But I must not forget, I am a believer. Altogether, I must not forget, I am a believer. Right? Very, very important. Altogether, right? So, if you see a template, and you see it's God's word, right in front of what you see, oh, wow, that's a template. Altogether, right? Spend more time praying for the template you are seeing. Right, and as you keep praying and keep wishing well for the templates, right, not having ulterior motive, you know, like my friend Pastor JT said when he came around, yeah, how did he even give that prayer point? May God bless everybody who is kind to me as a pastor without any ulterior motive. Are we together? All right, yeah, if you can say amen, bless your heart. Are we together? If your heart, what is ulterior motive? Where you are double sided, you are smiling in front, but you are backstabbing behind. Are we together, right? You are having relationships behind against your pastor, against your local church, against your relationships, but you are smiling in front, yeah? Yeah? So ideally, there's a motive. If you sit down very well, there's a motive behind it. Are we together? You go all around saying all negative things, tolerating negative conversations about your pastor, about the local church. I'm going to touch this fully tomorrow, right? Right? And eventually, you are smiling. Eventually, you are kneeling down in front of your pastor, right? Good morning, pastor. Good afternoon, pastor. Good night, pastor. Altogether, right? Yeah. So that's ideally who a believer should not be. You are still a believer, yes, because of the resurrection of the blood of Jesus, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the fact remains that in your conduct, let your conduct be more refined every day. See, refine your conduct daily to make sure you are in alignment with God's will, with God's word, with who God says you are, with who God has made you. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, so you must have that. You must have that very, very, very simple approach to your life as a believer. Altogether, you must have that very, very simple approach to your life as a believer. Now, let's touch a few things before we go again today. Praise God forevermore. Right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, one of the things we said over time is that a prayerless believer is one who is vulnerable. Altogether, one who is proud. I think we said something around that, right? Pride just really means you feel like you can handle it alone, particularly around the work of ministry. One of the things I will say over time is that prayer changes you, right? Yeah, you know, I always say, if you find there's somebody in your life who you don't know how to speak or who you don't like people around you calling their name, and when they mention their name, you get agitated, right? You know what you do? Take out 5 nights. Are we together and pray for that person. I remember I said this to somebody a while ago, right? And the person was saying, but Pastor, what will that be my prayer? And the question would have been, if that person never offended you, what would have been your prayer? I'll touch this a lot tomorrow. And that prayer that should have been your prayer, pray it. The moment you cannot pray that kind of prayer, your heart is far from God's word. It's simple. Altogether, it's very, 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 very simple. I remember someone did something very ridiculous a few months ago, right? You know, and eventually, you know, sent a message and apologized and everything. And I said, well, I took out time a few days ago to pray for you. And do you know that more often than I found out that those sort of relationships that seem to have gone far, or gone straight, yeah, even though it takes a little while, a lot of times they usually come back into, for lack of better word, their senses, if at all. Are we together, right? So probably initiate conversations again, apologize again and everything, right? Particularly if it is from a place where you just decided to pick offense because you allow the devil to get the best of your heart. Are we together, right? But one thing I'm very certain about is the consistency I give myself to praying for people like that, because that's what Jesus will do.
altogether, right? So if you have an issue with anybody, you have an issue with a member of the local church, you have an issue with the leadership of the local church, you have an issue with the leadership of the body of Christ, as it were, if there's anything like that, what do you do? Yeah. If you keep getting agitated when you see that person or hear about that topic, let me tell you, anything that makes you get agitated at hearing the name of someone, it really means somewhere in your heart, you are expecting to hear negative news about that person. You don't have to admit it. No. Don't forget, we said today's teaching is diagnosis. I'm diagnosed. I'm your doctor. Just leave it there. Don't bother. You don't have the stethoscope and you don't have the barometer. Barometer is a pressure, right? You don't have what it takes. Don't worry. You don't have the equipment. I'm telling you for free. You don't have what it takes. That's why you need a surgeon. That's why you need someone like your pastor altogether. Yeah, I'm just diagnosing you, right? Yeah, there is somebody who you just wish that something evil happens to them so that you can say, Ashebe, I told you. I'm diagnosing you. Yeah, I can write, maybe I'll do a description of the diagnosis and put it on Gospel's letterhead. Yeah, he just really means, right, that your heart is far from God's word. It means you are not praying enough, a lot for that person. Think about it. If you pray a lot for someone who you get agitated for, right, eventually, because you are praying and you believe in what you are praying for, and believe in the prayer you are making for such a person, altogether, you will not be looking to hear about the downfall of another. That's why I always tell you, prayer, even if you are praying, so that it should make sense to you when I say one of the things that happens when you pray is that prayer works on you. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Yeah, so prayer, so don't forget, you are not always going to be looking for results of when they will turn their ways and come back. I remember a friend of mine reached out to me. I was telling me that, you know, he messed up this and that and everything. And I said to him, the only reason you can have this conversation with me is because I know the number of nights I've taken out to pray for you. He said, I said, well, for him to say, it means throughout the period of whatever was going south, he never mentioned me in his prayer. I went together. But in that situation, right, the prayer of myself sort of had an impact one way or the other. But I'm trying to say it will not always be like that. It will not always be like that, right? But what you will find out is that in the place of prayer, your heart is changing. You see that song, exchanging your thoughts for your good. And let me tell you, sometimes, I think I need to do a full series on this. Sometimes we get ourselves in very, very naughty territories and we call it love walk. Yeah, it's something I think I need to you know, preach a little more in Gospel as a local church. You get yourself in very vulnerable states, vulnerable, you know, middle ground, and what you're trying to prove is love work. When you have a mindset to want to prove love work, you're already in the wrong. You understand? When you think you have to do something, then it just really means you need to go back to your drawing board to go and pray. Yeah, it should be something that flows naturally. I went together from a heart of love, from the place of prayer of love and all the like. But when you think there's a point you want to put particularly to people altogether, right? Yeah, there is something. More often than not, it's for the gram. It's for the gram. I went together. It's for the gram, right? So one of the things if we don't touch it tomorrow, probably in the coming weeks, right? There are certain things that, so I'm trying to say to you, there are relationships ideally, right? That if the second party does not change, they are not good for you. And if you don't change for the second party, you are not good for them. So it means that when that relationship continues, because one is not good for one, because of their various state in that point in life, right? It is very, very safe to guard yourself more than you ideally will. It's part of the love work. You know, I was talking about it, I think it was a few days ago, I was talking about how, yeah, if you're someone who likes gossip, you like gist, you like to always hear gist. What's happening in this person's family? What's happening in that person's family? You know, there's someone that said that to me, he said, one way or the other, people always like to just bring gist to me. You are the one that tolerated it, you allowed it, you approved it. Altogether, yeah, I told you now, the last time I had a pastor friend, a human being, particularly my pastor friends, speak to me about my pastor, the last time I remember vividly, right, was 2018. I can never forget. I know the sitting room I sat in. I know where I sat in. I know how I killed down. That was the last time. And those friends, I'm still in relationship with them today, but they've not given birth to them well. No, you've not. Because for some of them, the way I rebuked them, yeah, like I said, I want to live long. I want to do ministry well. The way I rebuilt them, they knew their place. We still talk, we still see, we still chat up, But you can never, you will never. Last time was 2018. I can never forget 2018. 2018 was the last time. I remember the living room I was in. I even remember, let me not tell you more, even though I was supposed to a few things. 2018 was the last time. Last time that I had someone sit with me and talk negatively about my past was 2018. Yeah, I'm still friends with them. If they're my friends, I don't know. Yeah, I believe that we still talk at least. If I'm going to the country, if I'm going back to Nigeria, for instance, I can say, oh, I'm coming around, we can hang out, we can eat and anything. But if you came to the UK, I'll host you, I'll ask you, but you can't try it. All together, right? Mind you, I never allowed it to get south before I even cautioned them. It was from the beginning. But today in our world, what do you see? Yeah, download all the gist. Let me just hear. And you say, hey, is that true? Yeah. And somebody was saying something to me, and the person was saying, you know, that she was hearing something about someone. The person was trying to say she was hearing that the reason why she listened to you was she was trying to be diplomatic, and she was trying to show empathy or something like that. No. You are just giving yourself to the workings of the devil. I'm going to touch this a lot tomorrow. Please don't miss tomorrow's teaching. You're giving yourself a lot to the workings of the devil. Yeah, you just don't want it to feel like you discarded them. You are not a counselor. Amen. Even if you're a counselor, you're not a counselor to the person who is gisting you negatively about this person. No, you're not a counselor. All together. So you must know where to put your feet forward. All together. Yeah, put your feet forward. Put yourself clear. Make it very clear. You know, you see, sometimes I understand, you see, and let me touch this tomorrow. But I'll end with this. It's a lot. It's a lot when you start getting yourself, let me touch it tomorrow. Let me not start what I will not complete today. Let me touch it tomorrow, right? But you see, when you start trying to want to prove a point, or you are trying to play safe, what I mean play safe, right? You are trying to ensure you get yourself in a position that you will not lose out on on X, Y, Z. So because you don't want to lose out on X, Y, Z, I'd rather sacrifice A to Q. Just so that in case X, Y, Z, I'll explain this better tomorrow. Our together. No. Influence. Remember, I started from that example. Influence is so important, right? What you do. And sometimes, then, when you get yourself to hear things you didn't want to hear, right? You see your punishment. Your punishment should be you go and take out days into months just take out time and fast and pray. Take out time and fast and pray. That's the way you get your heart back to order. That's the way you get yourself back to order. Just take out time, fast and pray. Yeah, take out time, fast and pray, right? And one of the things, again, is this. If you are one today, for instance, you are used to backstabbing, insulting negative people, or start carrying news that nobody asked you to carry, I went together, right? When reality dawns on you, the godly thing, Christian thing, is go back. I will end with this teaching, yeah? I watched a video of a preacher who said a few years ago, he had said all manners of things about some fathers of the faith, right? Until God corrected him and pruned his heart. Right, and what did he do? The fathers of the faith would never have watched the videos in the church when he was saying it, in the ministry where he was saying it. But he took his hand and he wrote letters with his hand and he mailed those letters to those men or to those fathers of faith and he mailed it to their offices. Now, he said one of two things. They didn't know the first things he said. They probably might not see this one. What has he done? He has put his heart in the right place. All together, he has put his heart in the right place. Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's very, very important for you to get your heart back in the right place. So one of the first steps, what do you do, right? You ensure, you know, in our world, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me, right? Yeah, with the energy, some of you know, right? With the energy you use to speak negatively about someone, you know, I always say it, right? Go back to the person you spoke against. Go back to the person you spoke to against another person with that same energy. Don't just say, forgive me, I know I've done wrong, forgive me. I don't want to talk about it, but just forgive me, I know I've done wrong. Go back with that same energy. I will together and say, I recount these words. I say this out. I said this, I said that, right? I've prayed to God to forgive. Don't just go and, God is not the one that sits behind the chair. What do you call that? Confession seat. And you say, me and God, we've settled it. No. Yeah? We have a generation of people who backstab and spoil people's names. And when they get themselves corrected or they get their hearts rectified, right? What happens? They think it's just life. Let's just move on. That's not the true characteristic of a believer. No. No. What do? You go back to the person you offend, even if you are not aware. Now, it's going to be different if, I mean, there are some very interesting extremes and the likes, and there will be need to be wisdom to be employed. But let that be your posture more often than not. Hopefully, you've been instructed by that. So, prayer, right? Yeah? If you have all these vices we're talking about, yeah, your medicine is prayer altogether and the word, particularly. Prayer and the word. Yeah, prayer and the word. And that's why, as a pastor, one of the things that I owe you is to keep seeing the truth for what it is. Altogether. Keep seeing the truth for what it is. Keep seeing the truth for what it is. Some of us in our, I'll use this parable today. This is a parable, and I'll end with this. Right? Some of us in our world today, if Judas and Ahithophel didn't kill themselves, listen to me carefully. If Judas and Ahithophel didn't kill themselves, some of us in our world today, as disciples of Jesus, they will keep fostering and building their relationships with Judas and Ahithophel. Love you all dearly.